Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. In this episode, we speak to Sarah. She has one child who was adopted, one who is in long-term foster care, and one who lives with her. Sarah is honest about the circumstances of social care involvement in her life and the events that led up to her two children being removed. She also reflects on some of the experience she's had since their adoption and her hopes for the future. We hope you find it enlightening. And as always, if you've experienced adoption or fostering or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through the Facebook or Twitter page, or you can email us at andfpodcast@gmail.com.
My name's Sarah. I've got three children. One's adopted, one's in long-term foster care, and one's living at home with myself.
Yeah. So do you feel comfortable to tell me sort of how it came to be that two of your children don't live with you?
Yeah, I got pregnant first when I was 16 with my eldest. When he was born, I was 17. I started with postnatal depression that I didn't know what it was. I wanted to go out with my mates, have fun, and I kept leaving my son with my mum. She talked to the L visitor and explained the circumstances, which then got a social worker involved. They put me on medication and everything was going well. And then in 2007, when my eldest was 16 months old, I got with a guy who turned out to be quite violent. I ended up falling pregnant with my second. I had social services then, still. And when I had my second, because obviously it was that bad of violence, I asked social services to help me get away from him, and they moved him into my property because they said I'd pass the ball. When my youngest was born, I went into an assessment unit. And I was doing really well there. My youngest dad ended up going to prison. So it was the only way I could leave that relationship, otherwise I wouldn't be here. The social services said that they wanted to extend my assessment for another 2 weeks. Went back to court. They agreed because I was doing so well. Within 4 days, they turned around and told me that they were taking it back to court and putting my children up for adoption.
So what changed? It sounds like that. Did they have a reason for that if they were saying you were doing so well to then move to that?
They basically got me down being in a domestic violence relationship. Even though they turned around and said to me that I would pass if he moved in with me. There was an incident at the assessment unit where you used to be able to get 3 hours a week on your own and the staff would look after your kids. I went to an appointment, came back and noticed that my youngest had a mark on his arm. Went to the staff and reported it, asking what had happened, because obviously I've not been there, and the straight said that I had grabbed him on his arm, when in fact I found out it was my eldest trying to pick my youngest up and caught him too tight, and they got me down as neglecting my child. Basically, I grabbed hold of him when I wasn't even there.
So that must have been, it sounds like a really difficult situation. And yeah, you go then from being a mum to having to your children being removed. So where were you living then once you'd...
When I was in the assessment unit, I was in Leeds, and I had no family near me. I had to go back and pack my son's clothes, toys, whatever there was there. And then they dropped me off back at my address where I was living before I moved to the assessment unit. And that was it. I didn't speak to him. I didn't see my children for another 2 weeks after that.
How old were you then?
I was 21.
Right.
20. No, 20.
Right. So it seems really unusual that they then moved to adoption for one of your children and long-term foster care for the other. So,
well, they were both going up for adoption because my youngest was, when he got removed off me, he was 13 weeks old, and my eldest was three. So they was putting them both up for adoption. This was going on for about a year, 18 months. Found out that they wasn't adopted. So I went back to court to fight again for them to be put into my care. Mm-hmm. At the time, when the social services found out I was going back to court, that's when they decided to put my two children with an adoptive family, saying that they've already found an adoptive family. We're not putting the children through it. They're better off getting adopted. So there was nothing I could do then. And then just as my eldest turned six, the adoptive parents couldn't handle my eldest's behaviour, so they put him back into long-term foster care and kept my youngest son. So that's the rule. One's been adopted and one's in long-term foster care.
Yeah, so, I mean, what were your circumstances when you were looking to have your children back? Were you in a place that you could take your children back?
Yeah, I wasn't in that relationship. I'd left him. I was in a new relationship. The excuse of them not coming back to me was, well, you ought have got in a new relationship so you could get your children back, and it wasn't like that. But yeah, that was their excuse of why I was in a different relationship. They thought I was going to go back to that relationship, which I never did.
Right. So who, I mean, there's a duty for children's social care to kind of look after mums like yourself. Who was supporting you at that time?
No one.
Right.
No one. They wouldn't let me explain to my eldest that I wouldn't be seeing him again, because after this court case, I was allowed to see their contacts would end up going down. So it'd go from, I used to see him 3 days a week, it went down from 2 days a week, then once a week, and then it stopped. They wouldn't let me explain to my eldest at 4 years old, when I last saw him, that I wouldn't be seeing him again, that he'd have a new mum and dad. And this would be the last time. They just told me just to act like any normal contact. And then obviously when I put him in the car to go back to the foster carers, my eldest went, "I'll see you Friday, mum," and that's it. I broke down, and my social worker had to literally grab hold of me and take me to my mum's, but there was no support whatsoever until I got pregnant again with my daughter. And that's when I knew that there was like support.
And so that, because your daughter lives with you now, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was different about that support that enabled you to sort of keep your daughter?
This time around, they listened to me. Like, they got me into like the Freedom Programme, which is a course for people that suffered or going through domestic violence. Then I got put forward to Women's Centre. They helped me a lot, which I still do enjoy, like training with them now. Then the after adoption team, I didn't know about that. It was the Women's Centre that put me through to them. But when I lost the boys, I didn't have no support. It just felt to me like they took my children off me, and that was it. It was quite disgusting what the judge actually said to me in my last court hearing, when they told me that my boys were going up for adoption. They turned around and said to me, "Oh, we're not saying you don't love your boys. We're not saying that you don't love them dearly, but it's not like you can't go on and have more children."
Wow.
And that's what I got told. You can go on and get, no, nothing is stopping you from having any more children. And I shouted in court, "You just took my kids off me, and you're telling me I can go on and have more children." It just felt like, at the time, it felt like I was just getting targeted because I was a young mum who was going through a lot of stuff. And then, because obviously when I was younger, my mum was in a domestic violence relationship with my dad, and they kept bringing that up. that's why I couldn't parent my children. It's like a vicious circle. But yeah, what the judge said, it just felt like they just took my children off me and then expected me to go and get pregnant again to be a mum. And it wasn't like that.
Yeah, there's nothing to say about that really, because I just am like you. It's just a mad thing to say to any woman.
Yeah.
In any circumstance, isn't it? It's yeah. So, I mean, you don't have contact now with your children, or do you have letterbox contact with your children?
My youngest, I used to have letterbox contact once a year, and it stopped 2 years ago. I've not had a letter. So this COVID, my eldest son trying to get contact with him is like a needle in an haystack. It's just the false promises yet again, like I had when I was younger, when they were younger. Trying to get through to the social worker is absolutely a nightmare. It's disgusting. I'm supposed to go to his lack reviews. They've stopped me going for his lack reviews because he attends half way through. I get the minutes, and the recent minutes that I got, apparently I've moved address. I can't be bothered. I don't contact him. I haven't contacted him since 2019, when in fact I've been trying for the past year to contact him, and no one's ever got back to me. It's only recently I've been able to contact him. I've explained I've got birthday cards for my eldest, Christmas cards, presents. No one's even come to pick them up. It just seems like I'm winning a losing battle with him.
Yeah. I mean, now you're part of a network of women in sort of similar circumstances, aren't you now? So can you tell me a bit about that and the support that you offer each other?
Well, like I said, I do adoptive training, and it's nice that people around me that's actually gone through the same stuff as me, because when I had the boys removed, I used to feel like I would get judged if I told anyone. Everyone that used to ask me, oh, have you got any kids? I used to say no. I was like, cause if I said I've got two kids and they asked me what had gone on, I always felt like I was going to get judged. So it was nice to be able to be myself around other people that have been through the same circumstances. And like I said, I do like adoptive training. I speak out to adoptive parents that are they've even been allocated a child, or they're on, you know, they're waiting on panel and stuff to carry on with like letterbox contacts and stuff.
Yeah.
And how important it is, and like what we'd want to know in letters and stuff like that.
Is that a hard thing to do, to talk to adoptive parents when you've got, you know, in theory you're sort of connected to your own set and some of that stuff's not happening that you would hope for?
It used to be really hard. Like I used to call them kid snatchers when I first were going through it, but it helps me as much as it helps them. It's because most of the adoptive people that I meet have got some background, and I didn't realise what they actually go through is exactly the same as what we go through. Like the court process, they go through assessment after assessment and stuff like that. So it helps me. And plus, like recently, like, you know, TV programmes about it, that's helped me as well to understand what they go through just as much as what we go through. And I do these adoption programmes because not many people have had children adopted and then gone on to have another child and actually kept that child at home. So it shows that at the time when your children was removed, that was a different insight back then. It was a different circumstances compared to now. And like I said, my daughter's 8 and I have not had social services involvement for 7 years. It's nice for them to know that the adoptive parents, that all what you see, because obviously they get like a bundle of information at that time, and no birth parent is going to look in ideal on that paper. They're going to look as bad as they may, you know, as anything for your children to get removed. So it's nice to actually put face and just say, listen, we're not all like that. That's just a snippet of our lives back in, you know, back then, but not like most of us do actually turn his lives around, and we do grow up, in other words.
It's interesting the way you describe it, is it's a snapshot of your life at that moment, isn't it? It's like a photograph. It's not true the day after, or the day after, or the day after, and then, but like you say, 8, 9, 10 years on, you're a different woman. So I don't want to be really, I've got lots of questions, but I don't want to be really intrusive, because it seems it's very private information. But how can I ask you about your eldest child and them sort of returning into the care system with their adoptive parents not being able to adopt them? That must be an incredibly painful.
It was, but in a mindset, it's quite selfish what I'm going to say. But I was hoping he wouldn't get adopted, because he was with me for 3 years. My youngest was only with me for 13 weeks. So I didn't bond as well as I did with my eldest. And no, me and my eldest didn't bond at the beginning, because I had postnatal depression. But I got that sorted and I started bonding with him, and I was hoping that he wouldn't get adopted, because then I'd have my parental responsibilities back and I'd be able to have contact, and hopefully I'd be able to take him out to places, I'd be able to take him for his meals, I'd be able to go to his dental appointments, and it hasn't worked out like that. The adoptive parents obviously still see my son, because they've got my youngest son, so they meet up with my eldest, school holidays, birthdays, Christmases, for sibling contact. So it feels to me like the adoptive parents have more relationship with both of my kids rather than I do. It feels like they've got more parental responsibilities, even though they don't have no responsibilities over my eldest. Like, where I live, my eldest lives 20 minutes on the bus away. We could bump into the city, we could bump in town together. I know which school he's at. His school's not that far from it, but yeah, I can't do that. It's like them dangling him in front of me, and I can't do it.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly difficult. Can I ask you what your hopes are for the future then, as your children, you know, your children one day will be adults? What do you hope would happen, but what do you think would happen?
I hope that my youngest would come and find me. I don't think they'll come and see me. I don't know what my eldest is being told by social services. He's been, one minute I get told he wants to see me and my daughter, the next minute I get told he doesn't want to see me and he doesn't want no contact. Social services didn't tell me this. I had to find out off my solicitor, because it was getting to the point where I just couldn't get in contact with him. So I went to a solicitor. They contacted the social services, and within about five minutes after they received the letter, that literally they contacted me back. It's like they contacted me because my solicitor contacted them. Otherwise, I'd be still waiting now for any feedback.
So there's lots of uncertainty about the future, isn't there?
Yeah. If it was up to me, I'd have all my kids living with me. But it's just not, that's never going to happen. But like I said, I hope in future that I'll be able to have face-to-face contact with my eldest. But like I said, he's coming up to nearly 16. So he's nearly an adult. In another 2 years, I'll be, you know, he's 18, so he can make his own mind up. But like I said, I don't know what he's being told. I don't know. It seems everything I ask for, it just gets overturned. I asked for if we could video call me, I'm not allowed. My letters have to be looked through by social services, but yet they're allowed my home address and they're allowed to send me stuff without social services looking at them, which I don't think that's fair either. But like I say, it's just uncertain of what the future holds.
Sarah, you've been really honest with me, and I think you've given anyone who listens to this the sort of food for thought in relation to the, you know, the impact on you, but also your circumstances, and, you know, looking back.
It has an impact on my daughter as well, because obviously my daughter's at the age now where she's asked questions why her brothers don't live with me, but she does. And I've totally been honest with her. I've told her why they don't live with me. I've told them where they live in. Well, I don't know where my youngest lives, but I've told why they're not with me and why she is. And she keeps asking for contact. And they always say, oh, we want to keep sibling contact. We don't want to split siblings up. But yet my daughter is not allowed to see my eldest. They won't allow it.
It's a really difficult situation, isn't it, for you all? Sarah, thank you so much for talking to us and sharing your story. And you've been really honest and open. And just we really wish you well and hope that, you know, that you can sort of build some sort of contact with your children in the future.
Yeah.